Just to put you at ease, the actual business of the committee won't take us more than 2 months, because it's two very simple regulations that meet the criteria we assume and hope that you agree. But we've got the table staff here that will take us through what is probably more a principal issue than the regulation itself. And I think if we spend 15 or 20 minutes on it, just to clarify ourselves how we take it forward, shouldn't be too much of a problem. But the two that we are looking at is the alien and invasive species regulation. I'm not sure if members have had that regulation, but we will ask them to talk to us each picture. And the second one that we want to look at is harassment, the protection of harassment. Then we have on our agenda, gentlemen and ladies, the National Road Traffic Regulations, and I think the committee wants to take it to Parliament round about the 31st, and we will have to look at it at that time, but not for today. There's still a legal opinion that's been developed for us on that one. And then Parliamentary Supply Chain Management Regulations. They are also still working on it. We've asked them to prepare those two so that when we meet on the 31st, we can deal with it. So today there's really only two. And then, of course, a discussion in terms of all of us clarifying each other, because there is a multiple possibility of interest in one of the issues of legislation that we put before us. And I think as a committee, we must decide how we take it forward. We need 8 members to adopt. I'm hoping that we would reach the 8. Mr. Rotter is on the way, I'm told. Mr. Bloom is on his way, I'm told. I would imagine Mr. Nube would be on the way. That's all NCLP members. That's at least 3, plus the 4 of us is 7. Who else could make it? Kalyan would be the 8th one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's confirmed. People that have apologized in Dronambis is ill, Ambrosini is ill, and Van der Merwe is ill. So those 3 apologies have been submitted, and all of them because of ill. And then Mr. Gao indicated that he's got a fire arrangement. So I'm hoping that the other members arrive. And I'm not sure I'll get direction from you. Do we want them to introduce the controversial one that we think about it before they come, or will the others feel that we've left them out? Or how do we handle it? It's 15 minutes beyond our starting time.
Okay, let's continue.
Let's continue.
Yeah.
Okay? And
but
they can join.
Okay, can I just, you know, I don't want, we continue for 15 and then we don't have a quorum. Can't we just pop downstairs and see whether we can't catch a few guys in the House of Assembly?
When we reach that point.
Yeah, well,
I'm saying we can
yeah.
have discussion, and then when we need a quorum, we can go in and look for a member or two if we need. I'm sure we could do that. Because there are some members that have in study groups somewhere. I'm sure people would be able to help us in that regard.
Okay.
Having said that, can we deal with the easier one? Protection of harassment. Does somebody want to talk to that one to us? Yes, sir. Just to bring us up to speed and what your thinking is and your report, and we will either accept and we will then craft our report to Parliament.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The Act, Harassment Act, in the media we saw that it came into operation straight after the regulation was submitted to Parliament. The requirement in the Parent Act simply says that it must be submitted to Parliament before the Minister makes a regulation. We at Legal Services looked at it in terms of the scrutiny criteria, and we find everything is complied with. It's if there is such a thing in law, it's pretty straightforward. What the minister is trying to do is creating infrastructure, legal infrastructure and social infrastructure, like we call it, that where police officers and the courts must work together to ensure that someone who is harassed, although it's not a crime to harass someone, but if someone is harassed, that you can get a protection order against that harassment. And the regulations implement that by prescribing or setting out the various types of forms that you have to fill in and then either submit that as an affidavit to a clerk of the court or a clerk must do when they get that affidavit or how the records must be kept and how the police can deal with those documents or evidence. The Act does create a lot of obligations for the police, but the police of course can say that they didn't get the right affidavit or we don't see the evidence yet. And all of those forms that you have to fill into documents these kind of issues, as well as the linkage with the Firearms Control Act. But if you have a protection order against you, you cannot get a firearm license, and you can be asked to return your hand your license in while that protection order is hanging over you. And of course, there's a way of canceling that protection order if there's no proper evidence. So all of those procedural aspects, formal aspects, set out in the regulation. Let's say there's no retrospectivity, there's no infringement or impinging on the court's jurisdiction. They're pretty straightforward and we don't have any concerns here. Thank
you very much. Just to summarize, if I understood you correctly, those regulations are purely procedural. This is the form you must fill in, this is who you must hand it to, and so on. And it doesn't infringe on any of our scrutiny criteria. And therefore, our proposal ultimately must be, we've looked at it, it does not infringe on any of our areas of jurisdiction, and therefore, we are happy. Fine. That's the proposal. Just on that one, honourable members, the issue that when they briefed me yesterday that I think we must discuss at some point, Ms. Killian, is the Parents Act says the minister must make regulations, and she doesn't have to, or Parliament doesn't have to approve it or something.
No, just submit to Parliament.
Just submit to Parliament. Now the question is, does submit to Parliament mean it must come via this committee to Parliament, or does submit to Parliament mean it just goes straight to the House? I think that's what we must discuss. My own view is that all regulations should at least come past that. That is my view. That regardless of whether it says does submit to Parliament, not for approval, at least we must look at it to make sure that we are happy with our mandate. That's how I presented it to Mr. Jenkins and them, and they didn't see any problem with that. Is that more or less how we think it should be? All right, in terms of the procedure, although
yes,
it says submit to Parliament, but we just have to watch and look at it from our purposes and for nothing else. And therefore, our report is basically a one-liner that would be saying, we've looked at these regulations and they satisfy or they do not infringe. I mean, that would basically be our report to Parliament. We're happy with that approach. All right. Do we have an example of what our report is? Do you have a draft report? Have members got a copy? Maybe we must give it to members, because when we adopt these reports, members must at least have sight. Although it's a one page. Dupont, can I ask you to make at least 6 copies of the one page? 6 to 8 copies. That deals with that one. We are happy with that one. The second item that we need to look at is the Alien and Invasive Species Regulation, referred in terms of Section 8.3, read with Section 146. Now, maybe you should be somebody first giving us your legal opinion in terms of exactly what is it saying to us, and then we can go into your one about the debate. What are the regulations saying in principle? I don't know, are you going to do this? Thanks, man. By the way, I should have asked you, because you're quite new. Mr. Jenkins will always be
attached to this committee, but he will not always necessarily do the presentation. They have quite a few of the legal gurus who will from time to time come and do the presentation. So we have with us here this young lady that will introduce herself, but she is going to be doing the legal presentation. And we'll see her from time to time, I'm sure. Over to you, Anne.
Thank you, Professor and members. My name is Yoga Zimobozi. I'm the parliamentary legal advisor. And I'll be taking you through the presentation on the Alien and Invasive Species Regulations. These regulations were referred to Parliament, to NCOP for approval in terms of Section 83 of the National Biodiversity Act. And also read the Section 146, which deals with the conflict between provincial legislation and national legislation. They were referred to legally in order for us to look into the scrutiny criteria as well to see if they comply or they comply with the scrutiny criteria. We have looked into the regulations and to another extent, similar to the one that you finalized now, there are no issues in respect of the scrutiny criteria, except for the provision that talks about the reference provision from the principal act, that is the Section 83, that refers to also 146 of the Constitution. In our scrutiny criteria, we have looked into whether all the regulations have the empowerment provisions in respect of the principal act, and we have satisfied ourselves that they meet the principal act has all the empowerment provisions, which means the provision, there's no principle of legality in the regulations. And also, further, we looked into other scrutiny criteria, for example, the issue of jurisdiction of the court, there is no impingement on that. And they also conform to the objects of the act. So they're happy with the regulations. The only thing that we made comment to in respect of the scrutiny criteria is just two definitions. A definition of listed invasive species and NEC. So those definitions, both of them, are in the principal act and they've been repeated in the regulations. And just in terms of the drafting style, we just commented that if you have the definitions in the principal act and they have the same meaning in the regulations, in terms of drafting style, you don't repeat those definitions. So that's the only comment in respect of the scrutiny criteria that we need. Therefore, the draft regulation meets the scrutiny criteria.
I'm assuming that members prior to this meeting had at least been given the regulations.
Yep.
They have, so we've had a look at them. So people can challenge if we feel otherwise. Okay. That is the legal advice that we're getting, is that those regulations satisfy. However, we want to hand over to Saida.
Yes, okay.
Saida from the NCOP table, who wants to mess up our lives. She wants to mess up our lives. But let's hand over to her.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honorable members. The intention is to mainly look at the procedure that was followed. I'm from the Procedural Services Offices in the NCOP. I'm a procedural advisor. My name is Shahida Bowers. And the intention is basically to assist the committee with the procedure that was followed in terms of bringing the regulations to the committee, and then secondly, to just look at what the committee must do with these regulations. Because the regulations were submitted in terms of Section 146 of the 6 of the Constitution, which speaks to conflict. Just as a background, we had a discussion yesterday with the chairperson, and just to give honourable members also an idea of what our reasoning is behind coming to the committee. The Alien and Invasive Species Regulations were submitted to the NCOP by the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs as stated for approval in terms of Section 83 of the National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act, read with Section 146 of the Constitution. The regulations were then deferred to the Interim Joint Scrutiny Committee on 25th, 2013 for consideration and report. It would appear that the correct interpretation of Section 83 of the Biodiversity Act, read with Section 146.6, is that the minister should only submit the regulation for approval when there is a conflict between national regulations and provincial regulations or a provincial act. The Department of Environmental Affairs has confirmed that no conflict currently exists. We have consulted with them from the NCLP side. So as far as we are concerned, there is no legislative basis requiring the minister to submit a delegated legislation to Parliament for approval or disapproval. However, having regard to Interim Rule 323 regulating the Interim Joint Scrutiny Committee, the committee may scrutinize delegated legislation agreed upon by the committee. So it's part of the committee's mandate. The committee needs report to therefore indicate, so now moving on to the process that the committee could follow. I don't know if honourable members follow me, but if you don't, obviously afterwards you will pose a question. The committee needs report to therefore indicate that the regulations, firstly that the regulations are not in contravention of the scrutiny criteria, and secondly, we would advise that the regulations be referred back to the department, noting that there was no legislative requirement for the department to submit regulations to Parliament for either approval or disapproval. Because when you look at the Parent Act, it is only Section 8.3 that speaks to submission of legislation to Parliament, but that is linked to Section 146. So Section 8.3 basically speaks to, in the event of a conflict, that the minister must do that. But there is no other regulating provision. Usually in an act you will find a section of the act dealing with it and basically stating that the minister must submit to Parliament for approval. That is absent in the Parent Act, which is Biodiversity Act. So that is basically what we're trying to say, that the committee's report, because this is a unique situation, would therefore read as follows. Having scrutinized the draft alien and invasive species regulations referred to the committee on 25/5/2013, the committee finds as follows, because in terms of the interim rules, the committee makes a finding. The committee finds as follows, that A, the regulations comply with the scrutiny criteria, and B, the regulations be referred back to the Minister of Environmental Affairs, given the absence of legislative authority requiring the Minister to submit delegated legislation to Parliament for approval or disapproval. That doesn't mean that the Minister would now have to again resubmit. But we do think that this is necessary due to the Department having followed up with us as to where are the regulations, has it been approved by Parliament. And in terms of the reporting, there's a joint rule that speaks to reporting to houses of joint committees, and in the interim rules, in terms of functions and powers, it says the committee shall, sub rule 2, in accordance with the criteria identified in these interim rules, scrutinize to see any other delegated legislation agreed upon by the committee. And when it comes to reporting, upon completion of the scrutiny process, the committee shall report its findings to the House for the information of relevant portfolio or select committees and other members, and two, in view of provisions of Section 146 of the Constitution, specifically report to the NCLP on delegated instruments relating to matters contained in Schedule 4. What we would like to preempt is that the committee follows 5 subject Section 2 that deals with reporting, that says in view of the provisions of Section 146, because clearly that provision was wrongly applied in this case. And we would not like to have the committee then report in terms of that. But in terms of the, as I said, the interim rule that established the committee, it says, I want to read the provision that says, exercises its powers and functions in accordance with the rules applicable to joint committees generally, and is otherwise provided for in these interim rules. And I don't think that the reporting differs from what it says in the joint rule. Joint Rule 31, that is reporting to houses, the joint committee must report to both houses on a matter referred to the committee, and subsection B says if the committee has taken a decision on the matter, whether or not the houses are to decide on the matters contemplated in paragraph 8. So That is basically what I wanted to put in front of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Raida. Let's open it up to members. My problem, if we read the proposed report from China, the first bullet point that says the regulations comply, I don't think any of us have a problem with that. My difficulty is the second one, that says the committee refers the regulation back to the department, given that the Parent Act does not require approval or disapproval. For me, that's important. It does not require approval or disapproval. I thought that all regulation, whether, let's take away whether it requires approval or disapproval, but all regulation must come back to Parliament because we are the ultimate lawmaker. Now, if we say we're referring it back to the department, are we, in so doing, abdicating our rights to be the final signatories, for want of a better word, of the secondary or subservient, what is delegated legislation? That's a nice word you guys call subordinate legislation. That's just the question that I'm posing to you. And then maybe I'm a bit slower down. You know, when you say refer back, as it's written here, it's almost assumed that at some point it must come back to us. It almost assumes that it must come back to us. So, should we not just play around with that word? Because refer, in my understanding, would mean that at some point it's going to come back to us. We hear what you say. So that is my difficulty with the second paragraph. I don't know how members feel, but I thought, let me put it there. I argued this with them yesterday, and we thought we'd bring it to everybody else for our collective wisdom. I'm not sure how members feel about the second bullet point.
Yeah.
Let's take, I forget
your name. Kurnavat. Yes, Honorable Chair, if we refer it back, it means that the committee must have a review into the bill, and after that it is coming back to us. That is how I see it.
So we must propose what word we put in there, or how we restructure it.
I think I need clarity on Shaida was trying to tie in section 8 with her motivation, saying that in the Principal Act there is no provision for this in terms of a conflict. And I don't know if that is what we are trying to avoid here by saying send it back to the department.
Yes, Honourable coming in, what we're trying to do with this person is to make it clear to the department that there is no, in a committee view, you are not looking at this in terms of section 146. But you are looking at it in terms of the mandate of the committee. As we said, 3.2.C, that says that the committee may look at any delegated legislation that it has agreed upon to look at. And in terms of the referring back, also maybe to note that obviously in the future, if there is a conflict, then it would come back. It would have to come back.
It must come back.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you, are we just taking the word of the Department of Environmental Affairs that we are correspondent that there is no conflict? Is that not too subjective? We have not studied all the regulations in the various provinces to make sure that that is the case. We just rely now on the department who has sent us. So, you know, I'm feeling very uncomfortable to do it. Maybe I should ask Africa Jenkins, what is the harm if we adopt? If we just say it's okay, we're happy with the regulations, full stop. But just make sure in future that if there is no conflict, you don't need to come back to us. But I see what you're saying, but you rely on the department. You're not relying on Parliament to do this. And if the department wrong, then we will be wrong. So my only problem is, are we relying on the department here, yes or no? If we, I think then we should, what should we do? Ask them to look at all the regulations and the various problems.
I think that's a valid question. I think Anthea is supposed to be our content advisor as a committee. I think in future, Anthea, you are the one that's going to come and say to us, the department says there's no conflict. I've looked at it. I agree with the department. Or I look at it and I disagree with the department. I think that should have been your responsibility, because I agree. We can't take the word of the department and not satisfy ourselves that they're not misleading us or misread it. Maybe not deliberately. So that's the first point, Andrew, that we think when there are these types of things that at least you give us a parliamentary view on it as the content advisor. I still think that we must restructure the second part that says let's assume that they are correct, that there is no conflict. We must say, noting that there's no conflict with this matter, whatever the case, noting that there's no conflict on this matter, well, first of all, we'd approve this in terms of the scrutiny, and we want to note, or we want to record that there is in fact no conflict. But I'm not sure that referring it back to the department makes me happy, but if I'm overruled by the rest of the committee, then so be it. I just, like Ms. Killian, I'm struggling to understand the linking of the necessity of the second panel, the necessity of that second bullet point. Does somebody want to...
Why are we going to send
it? Yeah. Somebody just explain to us, if we took out that second bullet point, what would the harm be? I think that's the question that MPs are asking.
The third or the second?
No, I'm talking the one that says the committee refers the regulation back.
Oh, the third.
Yeah.
No, there's another page. See the second page. Two lines.
We're saying, having scrutinized this legislation, the committee finds as follows. First bullet point says we are happy with the scrutiny part. Second bullet point says the committee refers it back. The question I'm asking is there any harm if we take that thing off completely? Because it seems to be what is making MPs uncomfortable. We'll afford you guys an opportunity to answer the question. Is the harm if we take it off completely, and if we must have it in, convince us why it should be in and how it should be in. I think that's what members are asking. Yeah?
Thank you, Chair. I'll do my best without trying to complicate it further. Section 146 of the Constitution is in fact a bit of a difficult one to understand for me. We spent the last few weeks while we're doing this opinion to look at it, do a bit of research. From where we're sitting now, it's not an academic exercise. We're going to prove something in terms of Section 146. 146 deals with Schedule 4 legislation, where a province and national can actually make legislation on the same content. And if there's a conflict, which one will prevail? They're not unconstitutional. Both bodies are competent to legislate, but there's a conflict that cannot be resolved. Remember, a court must resolve conflicts, must actually procure an interpretation that doesn't find a conflict between legislation. But when there is a conflict, Section 146 says there's a certain scheme, certain process that the court use to find out which one will prevail. And provincial will prevail unless certain requirements are met to ensure that the national will prevail. Those requirements pertain to sort of national norms and standards in certain areas, including environmental protection. But the important is that it's not an academic exercise. So, and then a last point on that one, before I move on, is that if you do not approve it, the minister, as in this case, submits something to the House. The Constitution says 30 days after the first sitting, after that submission is made, that delegated legislation or legislation for that matter, and then deemed to be approved. Now that is the implication. The only implication is in fact that the court will have due regard to it when they try and resolve the conflict. Now, when one thinks practically in legislative process,
of issue of environmental protection. What trees must be chopped down, or what trees you can plant and not plant, what trees you can leave, although you're not allowed to propagate them. And there's a difference between national and provincial. That legislation that was passed by national had to go through the province on a mandate procedure. So that province actually had an opportunity to bind itself to the national norms. They could have, in a mandate, said, well, we don't want to approve this, and if the other provinces are happy with it, then they can approve. So the harm, to actually cut the long story short, now the harm that's been done, if we do not say something in the lineup that we're not approving, then it will be deemed to be approved. And if a province then in the future comes forward and say, well, we have now provincial legislation to deal with specific issues of natural environmental protection in our province. One can just think of the St. Lucia Lake system in the northern KwaZulu-Natal, which is a very specific, very sensitive kind of area. They say in that area, we allow certain plants to grow because it's more endemic there than the Western Cape or the Northern Cape. The Parliament has slipped this through already. They will have a problem. They will have to come specifically to Parliament to ask for approval. And then we will not have an academic exercise, but what the NCLP will have to do then is weigh up the comparative provisions, see whether they want to approve both or approve the provincial one. If you don't have approved subordinate legislation, then of course it cannot survive. It cannot even enter the fray. So the issue here is whether the committee considers this, and the secretary of the NCLP has just also alerted me that when we draft an act and we put that delegating provision there, that is the way we make our bed. Unfortunately, but that's the truth. When you say in that delegating provision that you must, like in the Harassment Act, you must submit something to Parliament before you make the regulation, then we've made our bed. Then we cannot offer that, say, now we approve or disapprove. And in this instance, the way I'm reading Section 8, which is that in the event of a conflict, the minister must come submit this to, and then the NCLP must see if they want to approve it so that we can properly apply Section 140. Now, absent a conflict, there's no authority for the minister to bring it into the House. But he's brought it, it's here. So the committee, and the wording is clearly something that we need to work on, Honourable Chair. The committee needs to say something in the House, because the last sub-provision of Section 46 says we must give reasons if we do not approve it. The minister is submitted for approval, so if we do not do it, we need to give reasons. And although we're falling between the cracks here, because we're not going to disapprove it, we say something in the line that we note that there's no conflict, and therefore there's no need to approve it as envisaged in Section 8C, read with Section 146 of the Constitution, or something in that line. But I believe, from a legal point of view, we need to do something. We can't just let it slip and leave it to a court or whoever to wonder one day whether it was it. Because my feeling is the department will accept that it's approved if we don't do anything. Seeing that they've been phoning for one reason or the other, I assume it's a valid reason, of course. But they will just accept that it's approved, and the consequences will then flow from that. Thank you.
Comment? We're moving from the premise that we're approving it anyway, isn't it? We're not disapproving this thing, are we?
No. My view is we're approving the regulations based on the scrutiny criteria, but we're not, as a committee, recommending to the NCOP to approve the regulations as envisaged in Section 146 of the Constitution. Or as envisaged in Section 8.3 of the Biodiversity Act. That I would say the committee needs to be clear on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think he's correct.
Yeah. We think.
We can't. We have to do that in terms of the specific that if there's no conflict, it cannot go back to the NCA. It cannot. Be. So let's say we've done the scrutiny, we're happy, but we're not referring it to the NGO. And report that to the department.
But
report that to Parliament. We report to Parliament, don't we? I mean, when I say to Parliament, to both houses. Yeah, so are we, the question I'm asking is, are we leaving bullet point two as it is? Are we comfortable at bullet point two as it is, or do we want to gerrymander?
I think the wording needs to be
different. Just read the wording. I haven't got that one.
Oh, you haven't got the wording. I thought it was there. The one that says, the committee referred the regulation back to the department. Please, could we...
No, we haven't
got it. Other members have got that, don't
they? No, we haven't
got it. We asked for copies. Do you have any writing?
Yeah, it's number 3, but according to him, it's number 2. So that's why I thought we haven't got it.
All right. No? It's the one that says the 22nd of May.
Yeah.
Okay, but even if we went to that last bullet point, it says the committee report will therefore read as follows. And I'm saying A of that thing we are all happy with, isn't it?
Yeah.
The question is, the regulations be referred back to the Minister of Environmental Affairs given the absence of legislation authorizing that B. Are we happy with B as it is?
No, there's no B on that.
Oh.
Coming.
Was it coming? So, Gary, can you guys give us the copy you want us to consider? But can we first agree which document we're looking at? So that we're looking at the document dated the 22nd. And right at the bottom of page 1 it's got an A and a B. Okay. That's the one we're all looking at. And we are all happy with A, because that one talks to how our report should be structured. We are happy with A.
Yes.
The question is B. Are we happy with it as it stands in that report? I mean, on this proposal, or do we want to make slight changes to it? Because if we must make changes, we must make them here so that we can have these reports submitted. I think we all agree with the sentiment. It's just the word refer back to the minister and those type of things that we were debating earlier on. I think we are now convinced. The question is, can we use the proposal from Shaida and the team as our full report? Now, I think that's the question that we're asking. And if that's the case, then it's fine. Then we will use that report if we have used the wording and adopt these two, and we should be done with our business.
I think we should mention regulations refer back to the Minister of Environment, given the absence of the authority requiring the Minister, and refer to section 146. Then she knows why we're sending it back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think we should do so.
Okay, are the drafters looking at it? And are you following?
Should we not say? Should we not say that Parliament is happy that they? We must say that we are happy there. And therefore, in terms of section 146, we are going back to the
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. I think our first of because the Jefferson is that 146 does not find any application in the precisely because there's no conflict. For us, we have a conflict, we must have two versions. And in this instance, we only have one version. And therefore, there's no conflict on that page. So that's the threshold question. So if you fail at that threshold question, then that's the end of the inquiry. So what we're saying is that, or what we're proposing is that the committee can approve if it wants to do so, regulations in terms of its own plenary oversight power. Secondly, if one looks at the Constitution, I think it's section 102 of the Constitution provides that you can outline the procedure, national legislation can outline the procedure to be followed in a fully delegated legislation. In this instance, it appears to me that the principal legislation does not authorize that procedure. And therefore, if the committee is going to act on the basis of its own general health, it will not be authorized by the principal legislation. I do not know if that is what the committee wants to do. I doubt if the committee would be justified to act in that manner in the circumstances. Precisely because if the committee acts, it should be something that is authorized by the principal legislation. So that is why perhaps we propose to phrase it in the manner that we did. That if you look at the revised version, it says the regulations will refer back to the Minister of Environment Affairs, given the absence of legislative authority requiring the Minister to submit the delegated legislation to Parliament for approval or disapproval. Precisely because Parliament does not give itself those powers to say, if you want to come up with the delegated legislation, it will draft it, bring it back to us, so that we can either approve or disapprove. Had it been that Parliament had vested those powers in itself, then Parliament would be justified in either approving or disapproving. But in this instance, the principal act is silent, and therefore it does not authorize either approval or disapproval of the regulation. Thank you, Chair.
Comment from anybody?
Yeah. Okay.
But then it should say in the principal act.
The
B should say the absence of legislative authority in the principal act. We find many principal acts don't have this mechanism in it. It's going to start coming up, I think, a little bit more as we have amendments. So maybe that could be the note. I know that you and I would understand it, but remember, some of us will be on our way out from here soon, and people who are coming in need to know what our thinking was.
You know, the most fundamental question, unless I'm really dumb, I thought that secretary, the reason why the scrutiny committee was put in place in the first instance, was to look at all delegated legislation. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody says, well, the principal act doesn't authorize us to do it, does it then mean that even if there's delegated legislation, but because it's not authorized in the principal act, we then can't act? I think that's the question that we must ask, because my reading of the Constitution says that Parliament is the final arbiter or signatory of legislation. I'm moving from that premise. And regulations are legislation. So if the principal act says we will give that power to the minister and not bring it to Parliament, in itself, I'm saying where there's regulations, in itself will that hold water, because then it means that the executive is taking the decision of law and not ourselves. So, I mean, that's something that we might have to thrash out, and I agree with you, Ms. Cillian, because once they know that there's this committee and this committee is actually very strict, they might just deliberately leave out in the principal act the authority for this committee or parliament to do it. How do we overcome that? I thought the reason for putting this committee in place was to make sure that anything that says regulation, after the executive have drafted it, must still come back to us for the final stamp of authority. That's what I thought, but I might be very wrong. That's how I thought it. And that is why my fear is you saying that there's no authority in the principal act, therefore Parliament has the time. Is that what we're saying? If that's what we're saying, then I think we need to debate it in future, because then it means Parliament is actually giving its powers away. That's what it means. And if it is giving its powers away, is one, is that constitutional? Can it be challenged? And two, is there then a need for this committee? Because some deviant executive, God forbid, would continuously do this just to take us out of the question. I'm saying it's something that we must debate in the future. We don't have to debate it now. That's why I thought it was a substantial subject. But I might be totally out of line. You guys want to report on that one, yeah? And then let's kill this and go to bed. We can do it some other time. Not go to bed, let's go to one of us.
Go off the droid. but if they some issues with how they
What I can say to make you see better is just say that we are in a transitional phase.
Yes.
There's a new committee, and then Parliament has now become conscious of this issue of delegating provisions and delegating legislation.
Yes.
But also from the mandate of the executive of the NCP shows me, you know, this committee looks at delegated legislation requiring approval for which Parliament may disapprove or that requires consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to put that in either one of two places. That's the debate that we can have. One is it must be in each and every Parent Act, but in the meantime, we've made lots of legislation.
Yes, that's my point.
And this year, from what I understand, there's another 40 or so votes coming to Parliament to deal with before the election.
Uh-huh.
And are we going to have time to look at those delegated provisions? Now, another way of dealing with it is, and this is where our new colleague that we interviewed yesterday from Gauteng also made valuable input, is that one can have an act, either amend the interpretation act or make a new act if they're not understanding anything in other legislation. All regulations must come to Parliament for scrutiny and must be approved if it's required in terms of the Parent Act or not. The issue of approving all regulations has its pitfalls. There's not enough capacity. But the scrutiny, so that someone must bring something to Parliament and save the year for scrutiny, also for the public to act, is something that, that can be debated. There's a move towards that,
yeah.
As you know, that's why the committee is here, and Gauteng has made legislation in that effect. And one can do it, and other jurisdictions have done it. New Zealand is a prime example when we read the report on delegated legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But you are correct, sir. That's the problem. We are giving away our powers, and we can't get it back other than to make another law. Because that's the rule of it.
I think the last point that's up there was what I wanted to say. Because by delegating, you're giving that power away. And if you want to have it back, you should have something that gives it back to you. So I think it cannot all seem blood at that. Yeah.
All right. All right. No, it's fine. So, in terms of the report, are we then adopting the report with this proposal that they have here? Remember this? We will adopt, I mean, not adopt, our report will be a reflection of the last bullet point, A and B. We're not going to solve it by wording now, but you're saying it has to be a longer debate and getting powers back and those type of things. Is that what you guys are saying? I mean, once you say that, these young ladies have an easy exercise. We'll submit it to the HEC and to whoever tomorrow. We just want to be 100% sure that this is what the committee wants. Let me just read it for members more than for you. Our report members on the alien and invasive species regulations is going to read as follows. The committee, having scrutinized the draft alien and invasive species regulation referred to the committee on the 21st of February, having considered the draft alien and invasive species regulation referred to the committee on the 21st of April, the committee finds as follows. A, we're all happy with the regulation complies with the scrutiny criteria. B, that regulations be referred back to the Minister of Environmental Affairs, given the absence of legislative authority requiring the Minister to submit the delegated legislation to Parliament for approval or disapproval. That's going to be our report to Parliament. I'm looking at members. Happy? Yes.
I'm not there.
Yeah.
You know,
the scheme is for the proposal.
Yeah.
Alright, maybe you
want to
read it with your proposal,
Kille? Just to give the motivation in terms of section 146.
But
you Kalia. I keep on saying Kille. I beg your pardon, Kalia, and I'm sorry, Sandy.
The point that he wasn't like that, you know. He would rather say I belong to her.
Okay.
They work like to have that authority. But, Chairperson, the the point that was made by Advocate Jenkins that we are in an interim period, and which law is now the authoritative law in terms of that? The principal act or the act of parliament that there is a committee like that, the rule? That is the question. And by saying this, we're just giving that up, away. So we should just formulate that slightly more clever. And I don't know.
No, I think you've articulated what I'm saying. Because this will be a license. As it stands, will be a license for the entire executive to ensure that there's no authorizing legislation in the parent area. That's the exposure. Because once they see it as it is here and we've approved it, we've set a precedent. That is my fear. That's why I'm saying, you know this portion that says, given the absence of legislative authority. Because there was no legislative authority, this committee folded its hands. If I'm a minister tomorrow, I will make sure that none of my bills that come to Parliament have any legislative authority for you guys to look at regulation. That's just my fear. And I hear what you're saying, that unfortunately we've given it away by convention, and the only way to get it back is to put that act in place. I understand that, but I'm just saying, can't we be a bit clever and not say, given the absence of, you know, if we found some other way, because hey, we are politicians. They don't want to remind that these are politicians, and they will find a loophole somewhere. That's all that I'm appealing for. But if it can be done to do damage control after we've adopted this one as it is, I'd be happy with that also. All I'm saying is let's just not give them a blank check as they take it. That's all.
The regulations were submitted to Parliament purported in terms of Section 1.6 of the Constitution. So if this committee wants to confine itself to that, it can say that the regulations do not require approval within the meaning of Section 1.6 of the Constitution. And maybe we can deal with that.
There's no conflict, so we're not even going to look at the conflict issue.
Yeah.
In terms of our own mandate, we've looked at it and we are happy.
Yeah.
Then I'm more comfortable with that one. And I think that is what Sandy has proposed here.
Yeah.
Mm.
But you were the
so I don't want to complicate the life of this committee. I do not know if you would want to maintain that the regulations comply with the scrutiny criteria. Because in the first instance, if the committee had established that there was no conflict, then the committee should have not even entered that terrain. But if the committee wants to leave it as it is, then it's still fine. With the modified drafting that I propose, if the committee accepts.
No. I'll tell you why we want to leave it. Because at some point we're going to argue that all legislation must at least come past here. We don't have to rubber stamp it. But so I'm saying, for future purposes, I think any regulation, even if it's a one-line report, that says, from a scrutiny perspective, we are happy. So I would rather have it with those two options, with the changes that you and Mrs. Kalyan are proposing, that we refer that. In terms of Section 146 of the Act, we are comfortable. You can make those changes for us. All right. So we've agreed on that one, and the one around. Have we now received copies for the one on the harassment? Has everybody got the one around harassment? You don't have it. The one around the rest, we've only got one line, which is basically the same as our line on the other one. The required scrutiny has been complied with as determined by the resolution of both houses. There's nothing else. Chair, are you happy with that? I'm saying on the rest, it's the one line. Be happy. All right. Thank you very much. We now, Tupuo would need to go around? Can you just get one warm body? Just one more warm body, and we'll put both of them on the table. And our next meeting, ladies and gentlemen, is going to have to be before or on the 31st, because the committee on it has to be by then, because the committee on transport, I think, is now awaiting on us to approve that regulation. We will get the legal advice ASAP. And once we have it, we will call this meeting so that we don't hold up the other departments, the other committee.
May I just make a comment, Chairperson? Every Thursday without fail at the programming committee, I pose a question, because I can see our work is starting to pile up and the committee is not working in terms of if you need to have something approved by the joint rules. And without fail, every Thursday I have been raising the issue. I think the millions of the nerves are now around us. But I am concerned that there is now so much of work starting to pile up and our status needs to be.
I had the discussion, and maybe Seki can help us. I had this discussion yesterday because some academic from Western Cape, I think, or UWC, advised us that we actually illegal for want of a better word in the absence of that. However, the experts on this side said that we have been established by a resolution of Parliament, which is superior to a rules decision. I mean, that was the argument that some of our colleagues used here. They said, no, that's not even an argument, because the fact that we were established by both houses supersedes the joint committee, because the subcommittee of both houses. I mean, that was what some colleagues were saying here, so I'm just giving it to you for information, because I was also concerned that, do we really have a mandate if there's nothing in the rules?
Well, minutes of last week's programming committee, there is a report by the NA table on our status and what needs to be done. And maybe we should just ask Mr. Castle for a copy of that, because they maintain that it has to go back to the joint rules.
Very interesting. We ask our legal eagles here to. I mean, you guys must interpret whether we exist or don't exist legally, basically.
Sure, I have no doubt in my mind that this committee is legitimate.
In the absence of that.
It has been established in terms of the resolution of two houses, and therefore it's a substructure of the two houses. It may be that there were guidelines which were put before this committee, and those guidelines were referred to, if you remember very well, they were referred to the Joint Rules Committee. And the Joint Rules Committee referred those guidelines back. The guidelines are not the founding document of this committee. The founding document of this committee is the resolutions of the House. The guidelines were just for the purposes of the operations of this committee, how this committee intended to function. So it can even be an internal arrangement of this committee. So I hope that members would be comfortable in the knowledge that this committee has been established properly in terms of the resolutions of the House, and therefore the question of whether it's illegal or legal should not arise. Thank you.
We have now empowered our delegates to the Rules Committee, if other people raise it, I think here's our interpretation. Thank you very much. Can I put to the House, thank you very much, Honourable Snell and Honourable Van Wyk. We really just wanted you to get our numbers together. Thank you. Give me 2 seconds. The report on the Alien and Invasive Species Regulation, our report to Parliament. Can I put that one for adoption with the amendments that will then include in relation to or with respect to Section 146? Can we put that one for formal adoption? Thank you very much. Let the minutes show that one has been adopted. You'll just work with our colleagues there to make sure that last paragraph or that word are put in. And then our report on the protection of harassment, which basically says one-liner, scrutiny, passes with scrutiny. Can I put that one for adoption?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Those reports have then both been adopted. We will get them ACC as soon as possible. The meeting has adjourned and we'll meet again by the 31st. Sandy, you will then be armed with what we've come out here saying that we are. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.